Welcome to the Strategic Tech Coaching Podcast. Our host, Oscar Endermo, will together with guests share proven, tested strategies for improving your life and business. At the end of each episode, you will learn how you can use technology to implement those strategies into your daily life. We want to help you bridge the gap from inspiration to implementation.
Welcome to another episode of the Strategic Tech Coaching Podcast. In this episode, I talk to Laura, and Laura is based in Lebanon. And so we get a little bit of an update on what is happening in Lebanon, the current situation over there. So one purpose of this podcast is to also get some perspectives. So sometimes I like to speak to people that are in different parts of the world so we can learn how the situation is from someone that is on the ground. And Laura has started an impact-driven business. And I believe that this is the way we can solve the world's problems of today, by using conscious capitalism and using impact purpose-driven businesses that does not only give profit but also impacts the community in a good way. So Laura shares her story, how she built her business, and there's a lot of lesson from her story. So get inspired and then maybe start your own impact-driven business. Here we go, Laura and I. Hi Laura, how are you? Good morning. Welcome to the Strategic Tech Coaching Podcast.
Hello. Good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So you're in Beirut, in Lebanon, and from what I understand, yes, 1 hour ahead of Stockholm, where I am. So, and have you been to Dubai, Laura?
Yeah, I actually went last year in February.
Okay. Excellent. Yeah.
Did you go to the expo?
Okay. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Did you go to any other sky bars?
No. I don't think I did.
Yeah. So opposite Burj Khalifa, there's a nice hotel called the Address Hotel. Mm-hmm. And maybe I have this question because sometimes I miss Dubai. Anyway, pretend that we're going up the lift, you and me, to the 63rd floor. We're going to Skybar. Mm-hmm. There's a third guy in the lift and he asked, Laura, what do you do? What would you tell him?
I would tell him that I run a first web development agency solely led by refugees and women.
Excellent. Now we reached 63rd floor. Thank you, Laura. So yeah, I know you've been living in Lebanon for 5 years. So I'm curious a little bit about that. When I left Dubai 2020, we went to the airport to send stuff to Sweden. And as you know, there's a lot of Lebanese living in Dubai.
Yep.
And I was speaking to this Lebanese guy. He was sending things to Lebanon. And at that time, the banks were, you know, not allowing you to take out so much money. The inflation was really, really bad. I had Lebanese friends that had been working in the Middle East for their whole life and moved back to Lebanon, and all their funds were stuck in the banks. So the situation was quite bad. He said that all the Lebanese were buying chickens so they can have eggs to get something to eat. So how is the situation now with this, with the banks and the inflation and all these sad parts?
Yeah. So the situation here is definitely getting worse and worse, which is really, really sad. The biggest problem is, the lack of bank and the inflation against the Lebanese pound and the dollar. I left in beginning of November to go back to Europe, and the exchange rate was 27,000 Lebanese to $1. And I came back last week and it's 67,000. And that's just, in 3 months? Mm. It's getting worse and worse still, which is really sad to see. The reality is, if you have dollars, then you know that's the way to kind of, that's the only way to kind of get by because of this fluctuating prices for everything. Mm. Big problem as well is like fuel. All the petrol stations keep shutting because they obviously sell at the lower rate, and then when the rate changes, you know. One day last week, it changed from sort of 45 to 65 up and down all day. So if that's happening, then obviously people are losing a lot of money if they're not reacting every kind of hour to the exchange rate.
Mm, okay. And from what I understand, those that have dollars in the banks, at that time there was some kind of limit. You could only take out like $100 a day or something. So my friend was going to the bank every day. Is it the same now? Or?
Same now, yeah. It depends on which bank you have, I think now. Mm. If there's the fresh dollar account, so i.e. there's new money coming into the account, then I think the restrictions are less on that. There's still restrictions for sure, but they're less. But if it's your Lebanese account from previous, I think the restrictions on that are also pretty bad.
Mm-hmm. So how is the, what are people saying? You know, how is the situation?
It's such a complex thing. Like, so there's, in 2019, when there was the revolution and the whole situation started decreasing, there was so much hope, especially amongst the youth, that, you know, this was the beginning of change and et cetera. I think now that hope has definitely like diminished, and a lot of Lebanese have left Lebanon. In 2022, at the end of 2021, like 80% of my Lebanese friends left, I would say. But at the same time, there's this whole kind of entrepreneur ecosystem, with so many incredible people coming up with really innovative solutions, because there's such a lack of government and kind of infrastructure. We don't have, there's no public transport. You know, there's no kind of sewage system. And really the youth are coming up with solutions to this at incredible speed and incredible innovation. And I think that is providing a lot of hope to a lot of local communities as well.
Yeah. I mean, this, we said in the last episode, when you don't have resources, you need to become resourceful. And this thing that, what's that saying, that the desperation is the mother of inventions or something like this?
Totally. And also how, like, you really have to hustle and you have to just keep keep going.
And I think the Lebanese are good at this. They've been doing it for a long time, and they are good entrepreneurs, based on what I've seen and
definitely
around the world. How did you end up in Lebanon? You're from the UK from the beginning.
I'm from the UK, So I was working in advertising in England, on the 9-to-5 grind, that I like to call it. And I was miserable. And I thought there must be more to life. So I came on holiday to Lebanon. And literally the minute that I landed in Beirut, I was like, this is the place. This is the place for me. I don't think I realized how much of an impact it was going to have on my life. I think I've been here for 4 or 5 years now. And I started working in volunteering in a refugee camp, just for 1 month, which then became 6 months. Then met a woman who asked me to kind of help work in her organization that taught coding. And then kind of from that, got into the whole tech sector here that Concat is now becoming kind of part of.
Okay, excellent. So first of all, how come you went to Lebanon for vacation? Like, what was it that, like, oh, let me go to Lebanon, because...
Yeah, I traveled all around the Middle East and Japan, weirdly. I've always been obsessed with Japan.
Oh, me too. No, my wife is Japanese.
Really?
Yeah, she's Brazilian Japanese, but yeah.
Oh, that's a good mix.
yeah, she's born in Brazil, but both parents are Japanese. So she's quite Japanese in her way, even though she's born and brought up in Brazil. But that's another story. We can do another episode about Japan, maybe.
I'd gone kind of traveling all around. And my sister went to Lebanon. She was like, you have got to go. So I came.
Nice.
Yeah.
Just a backstory. So I studied in Australia a long time ago, actually. Like 20 years ago. And in Australia, I studied hospitality management. And I think maybe 30 to 40% of the school was Lebanese. So it was a lot of Lebanese in my school. That was the biggest nationality. So I was hanging out with a lot of Lebanese back then. And they were always telling me about Beirut, how nice it is, how beautiful it is. And so when I moved to Dubai in 2007, me and my other Swedish friend that I studied with in Australia, she was also living in Dubai. And we said, now finally, let's go to Beirut It was end of 2007, and we booked everything, but then there was some kind of election and there was something that happened, and some Lebanese friends in Dubai said, don't go at the time of election. So I emailed the hotel and I asked, like, sorry, we need to cancel the room. And she canceled it. And then she replied back to me, because I was working for Sheraton in Dubai. And she replied, by the way, can you help me get a job in Dubai? So the reservation agent was like, So I want to get out of here. So, which is a bit sad. So they've been through so much.
Totally, totally. I get so many requests being like, can you get me a visa to Europe through CONCACAF?
Okay, so the refugee camp, was that for Palestinians or so?
For Syrians.
For Syrians, okay. So one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you is that I think we have about 50% of the listeners in Sweden. And sometimes I want everyone to get perspective on the world. And in Sweden now, there's a lot of complaints about inflation, for example. And now we just heard about the inflation in Lebanon that is much, much worse than in Sweden. In Sweden now, there's a lot of talks about the refugees because we took a lot of refugees from Syria. Do you have any numbers on how many Syrians that are actually in Lebanon?
So I don't think they actually know the official amount. They haven't done a consensus here for like 40, 50 years. So they don't actually know. But I mean, like over a million for sure.
In Beirut or in Lebanon? Or?
All around, all around. Yeah. Most of them don't live in Beirut. Like there's some camps in Beirut that they live in, but a lot of them live obviously outside because it's cheaper and you can get kind of more space, especially if they have families.
What's the population of Lebanon now?
Oh, I don't know.
I think it's like more. Yeah, it's much more outside than in.
Lebanon. You always hear that there's more Lebanese outside of Lebanon than there is inside.
Yeah. So when you came to these refugee camps, how was the situation there?
The situation was obviously like terrible in terms of, like the materials that they have, the education, the lack of healthcare, all of that is obviously really horrific. And they were the camp I was working in, you know, there's no electricity. It's like this big building that is kind of totally damp inside, and there's just like floors and floors of people. But on the other side, they're so resourceful as well. And those kids, and we taught in a school, and the kids were so happy, like really minimal with that minimal life. You know, you'd go outside and they'd be playing with one card from a pack of cards and having the best game ever just from one card, you know, because they don't have the whole pack. And you kind of think, God, you actually don't need TikTok that much in life. You know, they're so creative in how they can have fun. And there was a real kind of element of like, everybody wants to learn and everybody wants to know English and everyone wants to know who you are and what you're doing there. You know, there's a real curiosity and a creativity that came from it. Also so much like dance and music, such a big part of like Syrian culture, also in Lebanon too. But every day, you know, everybody wants to sing these songs, and Baby Shark, we used to sing Baby Shark every day. So there's a real element of kind of, we're here, the situation is bad, but like we're going to make the most of it.
Okay, that's really nice. It's a baby shark.
Every morning. Every morning.
Can't get stuck on your head. So, so you said that you met someone that was helping to teach coding.
Yeah.
Who was that some volunteer organization? Who was that?
So it's an organization called Cody, and they essentially train marginalized youth to become full stack web developers. And I joined them, and essentially the remote kind of landscape was starting just to change because of the crisis in Lebanon. And then obviously there was COVID. But in 2019, Lebanese diaspora started wanting to hire more from Lebanon to help people here. So my job really became connecting the students that graduated to jobs around the world, in Lebanon, but also around. And what I saw there was that there was there's a lot of difference between the backgrounds of the students, and it was the the local Lebanese men that were always getting hired the fastest and getting the highest salaries. And there was a lot of stereotyping against women who were mothers, let's say, or because they wore a hijab. That was a big thing. But it's not directly criticized, right? So it's like, you are really great, but you don't fit the culture. Or sometimes they don't even say that, or sometimes they don't reply. And I saw a guy and a girl particularly, and I kind of started concat with them for. They were both so talented and so amazing and kind of funding their whole family's lives. And they couldn't get jobs, or they were getting jobs that were really low paid. So I naively was like, I can get them jobs. I can fix this. So that's how concat then started.
So yeah. Remember when it became like the idea, like the seed, like, oh, I'm going to start a company.
I was at home. So I went back to England on like the 20th of February, 2020 or 2021. When COVID started, 2020.
It started in 2020, March, I guess. Yeah. I mean, it was February, it was spreading. Yeah.
And I remember I was with one of my best mates who works at the Red Cross, and I was like going back to England. And he was like, and I said, I'm a bit nervous that maybe I'm going to get stuck there if this COVID-19 is a thing. And he was like, Laura, don't worry about that. Go. It's not like the whole world is going to shut. Right. That was his last words.
Yeah.
And we always joke about it now. Anyway, so I flew back to England, and the airport in Beirut then shut for 4 months. So I was then in England, literally with my laptop and my backpack. And anyway, so I was at home in COVID, and I thought, this is something, right? Like, I can get people projects. People were always asking me for websites and developers. And I thought, I can be the link between this, right? Like, if I can get people from my network and link them to developers, I won't be involved, but like, this can just be a gateway. And then this sort of started rolling, and we registered in July 2020, but we didn't really launch until January 2021, I'd say. And then by June, we had already like 30 clients. Everybody was starting to call me more and more. There was a problem, and then basically the two guys that I started concat with, they didn't have bank accounts, right? So that's like a huge restriction in Lebanon. So I registered it as a company to basically get the money and then just pay them. And that's how it became kind of much more official. It was always just like, I would get the clients and then they'd find out a way to get paid. But when we started working more B2B, the businesses didn't want to transfer directly to Lebanon. So that's how we came to register in the UK. And essentially now most of our clients are in Europe. So it works much better like that.
Okay. So those two guys, were they Syrian refugees as well, or were they Lebanese? Or?
No, one's Syrian and one's Palestinian. A guy and a girl. I always call them guys, but they're
It's a guy and a girl. Okay. Interesting. and the guys that, or the girls and that does the design, and so where do you find these talent?
Yeah. So now, at the beginning, most of the students came from Cody. The organization I worked at before. Now they come from all over. Essentially what we've done is we've created a kind of network around concat, and we do quite a lot of like social media about it. So now quite a few people approach us. I mean, now as the situation gets worse, we receive more and more kind of CVs on a daily basis. But most of the time, it's through referrals from people being like, I know this person, they're really talented and they really need a job or something like that. But we have got quite a like strict HR process just to really, we really want to be targeting the most marginalized people who don't have access to other opportunities. But on the other side of that, it's quite hard to find some people sometimes, like these, the people that I'm trying to target now, like they don't, aren't on social media, they don't have their own networks, you know? So then it's really a matter of like going to sit in a cafe in the north of Lebanon and be like, anyone, any developers around here? Because if you're in Beirut, then everybody's a bit more, you know, a bit more like exposed and used to exposing themselves on LinkedIn, for example, or having more of a network. But in the more rural areas, there's a real lack of awareness about kind of social media and using that to get employment. So we're doing a lot of work around that and a lot of workshops on how to create a CV and how to use LinkedIn to find your own employment. Because I believe if everyone knew the power of LinkedIn, for example, I'm obsessed with LinkedIn. And I think if everyone knew it, the power of it, then organizations like CONCAT wouldn't need to exist, right? Like everybody would be able to find their own employment, create their own networks. But so many people still don't know about it and don't know how to use it well.
So this you do as a for free or like a kind of a charity?
Yeah, for free.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So I'm actually doing a session tomorrow.
Okay, nice. Okay. No, I really
because
like
sometimes you get these CVs that are like 20 pages long, right? And I'm like, I wouldn't even, I'm just straight out no now. But I always try to reply and say, you know, think about this, try to put it on one or two.
That's really nice, actually. That's really nice that you do that.
I think otherwise they're never going to know, right? And it takes 2 seconds to give feedback.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, otherwise it's just a no, and then you don't understand and you keep doing the same mistakes again. And so even though maybe it's not suitable for this position, they can help get from your help. Next position will get
totally,
get
totally.
Yeah, that's really nice. Yeah. No, I like this impact business thing that, I mean, people in Europe can get great websites done and then at the same time help someone that really needs it. So I think it's great what you're doing, you know. I had another guy on the show, a British guy actually, from about conscious capitalism, that this thing that it's not just only about making money, it's also, it should be good for all the stakeholders. So I think it's great what you're doing. Any like projects that you can share that was like successful with what you did with happy European clients? That
So we have got a client called Artemis Education. I'm sure they wouldn't mind me telling them about them. They are basically a new kind of chain of international schools in the Middle East, but also all over Europe. And they have got kind of a really modern student-focused approach to education. And I met the founder, who is an amazing guy, and he's based in Doha, but he is English, and they're building this network of schools. So we started with one of the websites for the school in Doha, and now we are their kind of official web design and development partner. And I think they're looking to build like 20 schools over the next 3 years.
Oh, great.
So we started just doing the development, and then we've now do design as well. So we've launched two, and we're about to do the third and fourth school, which is really cool, because essentially what we do is then we grow together, right? And we're there with them from the beginning. They are not at a scale where they would have their own tech team in-house. So they come to us, and they are kind of super ethical and sustainable and really aware of their carbon footprint and things like that. So our missions are really aligned in that. But it's exciting because they're growing fast. So it's not like a small startup that's just run by one person, you know, in a log cabin or whatever. It's actually now we're at the scale where we've got capacity to really take on clients that are ready to grow.
Okay,
and really grow together. Yeah. So that's what's worked really well with them.
Okay, nice.
The design is amazing.
Okay, cool. So what is the service? Is it mainly web design and building websites that you
Yeah.
provide? Yeah.
And
and the
design and
name is,
development.
the name of your company is Concat, right?
Yeah.
What is the story behind the name?
So concat comes from the word concatenate, which is like an Excel formula, which means to link two things together.
Ah,
Yeah.
nice. Okay, interesting. So we met in Stockholm. You were there for the at some mingle event. We met at the Impact Hub in Stockholm,
Yeah.
one of these co-working spaces, and the She Entrepreneur program. Can you share a little bit
Yeah.
about that? And
Yeah. So the She Entrepreneur is basically a leadership program for female entrepreneurs working in the MENA region. And it was honestly one of the most incredible things I've done in my life. We did it in 2021 for 6 weeks. We did a session online every Friday about kind of everything from business model to personal development to team building. And then, yeah, we got some of us came to Stockholm in October last year.
Yeah.
And it's just a really incredibly well-run program. The workshops are so kind of action based, and really the whole thing was super holistic. Like, it always starts with music, and we did yoga when we were there, and it's about kind of bringing your whole self, and also being the best leader that you can be throughout your whole life, not just your kind of work balance, life balance. And then we had a mentor, yeah, but and also the network that they've created amongst us. There's like five or six of us from this cohort in Lebanon, and we're all in contact really regularly, helping each other out.
That's great.
If we need a new lawyer, a new bank, whatever it is. Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, so that was the Swedish Institute, right? That is behind this. Yeah. And how many were you in Stockholm? Were it like 15, 20 or something like this? Or?
I think there was 30 of us.
30, okay. Yeah, I was mingling with and talking with several, and it was really, really nice to see two things, the energy and also all these cool business ideas and like this hungry girls from all over Middle East. It was really, really nice to see. So great initiative by the Swedish Institute to do this.
Yeah.
Because then everyone comes
Amazing.
Back to their own countries and contributes. You know, so.
Totally. They do a lot, I think. Yeah. There's a lot of programs.
Yeah. So there is a lot of ups and downs building a business. There's some tough times. Good times and tough times. So now you've been doing it for, what, 2-3 years? You said you registered summer 2020 or something like this.
Well, yeah.
What are some of the lessons that you had that you can share with the listeners?
So many things happen, and I didn't know that it was so possible to feel so many emotions in one day. Like, you've got an email from an angry client, then you suddenly find out you got a new client. I don't know, it's completely up and down. It's absolutely mad, actually, thinking about the day to day. I think one of my biggest things I've learned is like how important having a support system is, and everybody says that. But actually, having a support system around your career, not just your like friends and family, is so important. I've been so lucky that a lot of Lebanese people have given me so much of their time for free, helping me with solutions, helping me find people, helping me find solutions when there's no electricity and no 3G in the country. And really people that I speak to all the time, and check in with them and kind of share my advice with them if I can help, if there's something about Europe. But just really, got a strong group of people, of basically advisors, right? Whether they like it or not, that's what I call them. And I really rely on them a lot. And I hope that they can also in turn rely on me. But I think this is sharing of knowledge is just really important. And not having an ego around that. So I'm very happy to admit mistakes or things that go well, and really sharing honestly about your experience, because otherwise there's no point in pretending that everything's fine all the time, because it's just not.
Yeah.
A second thing I think I've learned the hard way is really about like maximizing your own time. I spent so much time at the beginning speaking to people that ultimately gave me bad advice or told me things that I didn't agree with. And I would still speak to them as if I agreed, instead of just being like, I'm sorry, I don't agree with that. Like, you know, trying to cut down the meetings in terms of length.
Because was it politeness from the British?
Yeah. Well, I think also just not being sure of really a lot of things at the beginning. So when when you ask people for advice, everybody tells you different stuff. Mm. So you really need to just trust your own instinct, which I didn't at the beginning because I doubted it so much. Whereas now I've got more experience. I now know when I have that feeling and I'm like, okay, no, I'm actually going to trust myself on this. That's a hard thing to have confidence to do, right? Like, it takes time. And the problem with that is then you make mistakes. There's no one else to blame. But I think so far when I've made a decision based on the feeling that I have, I haven't regretted it. So I think just keep going forward with that. What else? I think that these kind of profit for purpose business is so amazing. And there's some really amazing solutions out there that are doing that. And I think it's a really interesting model to basically challenge companies to do more, which is why I'm trying to prove, kind of build a really strong proof of concept at Concat to then take to companies who say that they hire diversely or say that they hire refugees or whatever it is, to essentially prove that, like, all of those things I just said, that hiring diversity is better, right? It just makes the world better. The solutions and the products that we then create are better. And I really believe that the world needs to be working towards like equal access to employment, because there's just so many countries that are being left behind within that and nationalities. And I think the tech sector is a really good way to create like a good place to start to try to create that quality because of this remote working environment. But more corporates need to take charge, basically.
Yeah. So to the listeners out there, the message is clear. You can go to the website. I'll put the link in the show notes to this. And if you need a website or web design, it's great. You get a good design and you're helping someone, which is perfect. So actually, I have one last question. And normally I ask this question that if you could teach something to anyone in the world, but I'm going to change a little bit. So if you had a magic wand and you had 1 hour with everyone on the planet and you could teach them about LinkedIn, what would you teach them about LinkedIn? How they could benefit from LinkedIn?
I think LinkedIn is about creating a network and not being embarrassed to reach out to people that you don't know. Follow companies that you like, follow individuals that you like. And it's such a good way also to keep up to date with what's happening in the world, especially in the tech sector. So I think my message is just be shameless about it. Post your highs and lows. Post, you know, people are afraid to post like good information sometimes, but just back it up with an example or some data if you can. And it's not, what's the saying? It's not boasting if it's based on facts. I love that.
Yeah, excellent. So thank you so much for taking the time. Do you have anything else you want to share about your
No, just if anyone needs a website. We've got some clients in Sweden, but we need some more.
Excellent, yeah. So no, thank you. I really, really like what you're doing. So keep doing it and I wish you all the best for the future.
Thank you so much.
So big thanks to Laura for taking the time and also for building something that is good for everyone. I believe entrepreneurs that take dreams to reality with purpose and impact is the way forward. You can start an online casino and make money on other people's gambling or like problems, or you can start a business that really helps the community. And this is what Laura has done. So Concat's mission is to create top quality websites for international clients whilst providing sustainable employment for talented but marginalized developers. So if you want to learn more about her company, you can click on the link that is in the show notes to this episode. Also, if you're listening from the Middle East and are interested in maybe the She Entrepreneur program that Laura was talking about, there's also a link to that program. And as always, follow us on Spotify and whatever podcast player you're using. Follow us on social media, Instagram, Strategic Tech Coaching, and YouTube, Strategic Tech Coaching. We have some more exciting episodes coming up, so look forward to interview some cool guests in the future. And also maybe share the episode with a friend or two. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you for listening to the Strategic Tech Coaching Podcast with your host, Oscar Ndermo. We'll catch you next time.